anyone wants to follow this, it's in the pew Bibles, which are in the back of the seats. It's on page 1209, and the reading is from the book 1 John, chapter 4, verse 21. I'm sorry, 7, 221. So 1209, 1 John, chapter 4, starting at verse 7. It's on 1209. Everyone got it? It's a good one to follow. Okay. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Alrighty, thank you, Neil. Now, I need to fart, so at some point that's going
to
come out. Yes. Are you recording this? Sweet. I need to fart. I also have a ball. Now, if you're talking, I'll throw this at you. I'm going to talk. I'm going to say some things. I hope you guys will listen, because this will be the last time I'll get to say some things to you. And as I was thinking about what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? It's the last thing I get to say to you. I found this passage. And this passage really is the heart of the gospel. It's who God is, and it's who we're meant to be. And it's all about love. And love's kind of a funny word. We use it for all sorts of things, right? We say, I love chocolate. We say, I love Toyota Celicas. I love lamp. We say, you're lovely. We say, I'm in love with you. I love my parents, right? I love the way it feels when I jump into a cold pool on a hot day. We say, I love you. There's tons of different ways that we use this word love. And now clearly when I say I love you, I don't mean the same thing as when I say I love chocolate, right? And when I say I'm in love with you, it means a slightly different thing than when I say I love my parents, right? Love's kind of a funny word. Everybody uses it. We use it all the time. And I think we've used it so much that it's kind of lost some of its meaning. We're not exactly sure what it means when we say I love you. We know if we watch How I Met Your Mother that it can end a relationship very early on. However, if you were to say it while drunk to a guy in a pub that you've just met, that's fine, all right? Love's a word that we use so often that it's kind of lost its meaning, right? But at the same time, it has way too much meaning. And we're still not quite sure what to do with this word love. It means too many different things, and it means nothing at the same time. Over the past 9 years, as I've been a leader at Logos, I've done my best to love you guys. That's ultimately why I've been a Logos leader, to love you. This is my second last week of Logos ever, right? And so what I want to say to you is to love each other. Love each other. Do for each other what I've done for you. But don't look at what I've done for you as an example. Look at what Jesus has done for you. Look at what God's done for you. See, I've loved you, but I've loved you imperfectly. All right, I fail all the time. I'm greedy. I'm selfish. I do what I want rather than what's good for you. God never has done that. God has always loved us perfectly. So love each other. I'm going to talk about four things tonight. Firstly, what is love? Secondly, why should we love? Then we're going to talk about who do we love? And then finally, I'm going to talk about practically how do we love each other? All right? So, firstly, what is love? And there are lots of different ideas of what love is out there. When the Bible talks about love, though, it means this. It means doing whatever is best for the other person, no matter what the consequences are. Doing whatever's best for the other person, no matter what the consequences are. Have a look at what our passage says in verse 10. Verse 10, it says this. It says, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." I found a quote which I think sums it up pretty well. It was on Urban Dictionary, if you're looking for it. It's brilliant. Urban Dictionary is awesome. Love means an undefeatable benevolence and unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the good of the other, no matter what he does. It is self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of its object. Now, there are three things you might have sort of glazed over as I read that. There are three things that I want to point out from that quote. Three things. Number one, love means to do what's good for the other person no matter what he does. That means to love somebody, you love them even though they hate you. To love your friend means to love them even when they turn on you. I remember a true story that I heard a while ago, and it was about this woman. Her husband had died, and all she had left was her son, her teenage son. And one day, as her son was walking home from school, he was murdered by another teenage boy. Right? The police caught this boy, and they charged him. They found him guilty. He admitted to the murder. Right? This guy had murdered her son. What this woman did is she waived the charges. She said, "I'm not going to press any charges. I'm going to take this boy into my home and raise him as my own son." That's love, no matter what the other person does. This guy had murdered her son, and she raised him as her own. Love means to do what's good for the other person no matter what he does. Secondly, it gives freely without asking anything in return. Right? You can't love someone and expect something in return. You don't love in order to get anything. You love in order to give. Gives freely without asking anything in return. And number three, it does not consider the worth of its object. So you don't love because somebody is lovely. You don't love because somebody's nice, because they're good. You like people because they're nice. You like people because they're lovely and they're good, but you love them no matter what. See, at what point did Jesus love us? At what point did Jesus love us? It was when we were enemies. It was when we were rebelling against him, when we're ignoring him. At that point, God loved us. He didn't love us because we were worth something. We're worth something because he loved us. Love gives worth. It's not given because of worth. We're worth something because God loves us. See, when Jesus came to earth, he lived, he died, he rose again. He did what was best for us. He loved us. And that's what love is. Doing what is best for the other person, no matter what the consequences. So, we know what love is. Why should we love? Why should we love? Because God loved us. Have a look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. How did he love us? He sent his son to live the perfect life, to die a death he didn't deserve, so that we wouldn't have to. This is the heart of the gospel, right? The heart of the Christian message. If you understand nothing else but this, you've understood Christianity. God sent his son to live the perfect life that we couldn't live and die the death that we deserved. So why should we love? Because God loved us. See, if we love someone because of the way that they make us feel, right? That feeling is going to fade away eventually. We're going to get annoyed, we're going to get frustrated with them, and that love will fade. If we love someone because of how nice they are, that's also going to go away. Nobody's nice all the time. Not even the cans. Right? That's true. If we love others because we want the world to be a better place, because we've chosen to love them, or if we love them just for the sake of loving them, won't all of that stuff fade? Right? We change our minds all the time. Eventually, we'll realize that the world isn't getting better. People will change. If we love someone because we feel like it, how fickle is that? One minute I feel like this, another minute I feel like that. Feelings come and go. Emotions come and go. People change. When we think about why we love others, every reason that you could give will eventually, or usually actually more often, usually very quickly, it'll fade away. Feelings fade. People aren't always nice. People change. Emotions change. If you love someone because of anything like that, give it a bit of time and you probably won't love them anymore. There's one thing that will never change. One person who will never change, and that's God. The fact that God loved us so much he sent Jesus to die for us, that's a fact that will never change. And it's the only reliable reason to love someone. Kat loves me because Jesus died for us. That's a fact that will never change. And so I can trust that Kat will always love me. No matter what I do, no matter how much I change. We love because he first loved us. So who? We know what love is. We know why we should love. Who should we love? Well, what does the passage say? Who does the passage say we should love? It says in verse 7, it says, dear friends, love one another. We as Christians, if you're a Christian here tonight, we're meant to love each other. We're to love those who aren't Christians too. But especially, we're to love each other. Imagine a place where you could come on a Friday night, and as you walk in the door, you see people are happy to see you. Imagine a place you come and you don't get bullied. You don't get picked on. You don't get made fun of. Imagine a place where you could be completely yourself and not be afraid that you'll be made fun of. Imagine a place where you could come and feel vulnerable. A place where you could come and you could cry and not be embarrassed about it. Imagine a place, guys, when you don't have to put on that tough guy mask. Imagine a place where you don't have to pretend everything's okay. Imagine a place where everybody looks out for you, where everybody loves each other. Imagine a place, just for a minute, where people love each other so much they would die for each other. That's what Logos is meant to be like. That's what church is meant to be like. That's what it looks like when you have a bunch of people who especially love each other. Imagine if your friends came to a place like that. What would they think of Christians? Would they think that Christians are just lame or daggy? Or Christians have lost their place in the world? They have no place anymore. No. If your friends came to a place like that, they would want to be part of that community. They would want to be part of that group. Do you want your friends to come to Logos? Do you want your friends to become Christians? Do you want your friends to know Jesus as their Savior? Then love each other. Love each other. So how? How are we to love each other? It's about putting others first. It's all about doing what's best for the other person. That means thinking about what they need. And this is a mindset that we need to have when we come to Logos. We need to be thinking, what do these people need? And that's thinking about what they need, not what they want. What they need, not what makes them happy. Then when we come, we actually need to be looking out for what people need. And sometimes even brave enough to ask. I mean, it can be as simple as seeing that they need a Bible at Bible study and getting them one. It can be as simple as getting them a piece of cake from the supper table. Or it could be deeper, asking them how they're going at home, how things are with their family, how things are going at school. And then we need to be prepared to give up our needs for theirs. So often we come to Logos and we talk to our friends, we hang out with our friends, while those that aren't our friends kind of get left out there somewhere. We ignore them. Even if it means you don't get to hang out with your friends, hang out with the people that need it. At Logos, if there's somebody new, if there's somebody who's a bit on the outside, make them feel welcome, right? Give up time with your friends to include them. If you're having a group conversation and somebody's sitting over by themselves, include them, invite them to join. This is all easy stuff to do, but we just have to take that step of doing it. If you're going to the movies on Saturday night with your friends, invite your friends from Logos. Look around you, right? Look around you. Go. Look at the people who are here tonight. These are the people that God has given you to love. So love them during the week. Talk to them at school, right? Hang out with them on Saturdays. Hang out with them on Sundays. These are the people that God has given you to love. Now, I've given you a few examples, right? But really, it's very simple. Just look out for each other. The more you come with this sort of mindset, the more Logos and church will look like what I outlined earlier. So dear friends, and you are my dear friends, this is the last thing I want to say from up the front here. Jesus loved you, so love one another. Love one another. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you loved us. Thank you that you loved us so much you sent your Son to die for us. Father, please help us to love each other. Amen.
Discussion groups? Discussion groups?
Yes.
All right.